think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcast always available at huntleyradio.com. One of the most vivacious personalities I have ever met in theater is Elizabeth Dawson. Elizabeth is a wonderfully gifted actress with talent spanning from comedy to drama. We're going to spend the next half hour getting to know her. Welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much. I'm blushing so hard right now.
And we'll just try and translate that color through the airwaves to the listeners. So, Elizabeth, how did you get involved in theater in the first place?
A long time ago in a universe far, far away.
Yes.
I attended the Bristol Renaissance Fair at probably, I've been going my whole life. My family was a big fan back when it was King Richard's Fair. And at about age 14, I think, I said to myself, I want to do this. I want to make people laugh. I want to dance. I want to sing on and dress up in beautiful clothing. And we auditioned the next year.
You and your whole family?
I auditioned with some girlfriends from high school.
Okay.
But I had been attending with my family.
Okay.
That was just about the time, you know, age 14, 15, when you start wanting to do fun stuff by yourself without the family quite so much. So we all went and auditioned, and all three of us made it in various roles. And I stayed. I performed with them for about 3 years. And then I joined the military, and then I came back and performed with them for another 20 years. So it was a whole lot of improvisational theater.
Okay. So that's a very unconventional way to get into the world of entertainment and theater and so forth. What was it about, you know, attending as a child with your family? What was it that made this world so magical that made you want to be a part of it?
If you've attended a Renaissance fair, it's extremely immersive. The kind of environmental, historical-based theater, and at the time, it's now a little bit more fantasy rules, but at the time it was pretty strictly historically accurate for the most part. So I'd always been interested in that kind of period in history. I'm a bit of a history buff, and really you can't get any more fun than that clothing for, you know, period clothing. So kind of wanting to be a part of that immersive, you really, part of it, it's a 360 theater experience. It's environmental, it's everywhere. And you are that character for 9 hours a day. It's intense. And I had a lot of energy to burn off as a teenager. So, all of that was just so attractive to me. I wanted to live that. And for some, it's a lifestyle. For others, it's just a performance venue. You know, I never toured on a circuit or anything like that. I certainly knew people who did. And there's different classes of performers within Renaissance fairs. There's the kind of paid stage acts. There's the local cast that comes back each year and kind of does more street performance. And then there's kind of the merchant class and shopkeepers who tour with different circuits, but are also entertainers in their own right. It's a really interesting culture.
And which cast level were you in?
I have performed in several at this point. I started off as a street performer out of the kids' kingdom, playing a character who had been stolen by fairies as a child. So her body grew up and was 15 years old, but her mind was 6 years old.
Okay,
and all of us in the troupe.
I have to stop you there.
It was crazy.
Did you invent this character, or were you presented with this character?
I was. I invented this character.
Okay.
And that was the conceit of this troupe, of this particular street troupe.
Okay.
We were a group of kids who had wandered into fairy at some point and then wandered back out, you know, through a mushroom ring or some such. And Elizabethans absolutely believed that this happened all the time, and that there were people who, you know, had done that, you know, had been gone for hundreds of years, came back, and everyone they knew, you know, was gone. So we all banded together. I studied really hard children's behavior, and we tried very hard to differentiate our different ages within the troop. We had someone who played a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, and it was different because those, you know, bore no relation to our actual ages or relationships with each other. So it was very a very interesting experience.
And you would play the same character every day throughout the run of the fair?
Every day's opening day. So yeah.
And how long is the typical run of the fair?
It's an 8-week run every weekend. And at the time, it was the weekend before the 4th of July through the weekend before Labor Day weekend. Now the run is a couple weeks later, but it's in 8 weekends.
Now, this was one character that you played. Mm-hmm. Were there other characters as well?
Yes, several. There was one year that we bent the rules a bit and played actual fairies. We had little pointy ears that stuck out through our hair, where I was Sunny, the fairy of the morning dew. There was a year I was an Irish character. Do I even remember her name? Mary Tangleskeen. I played a character named Mary Tangleskeen. I was a weaver, and it was with a craft reenactment group that was really interesting. They were very historically based. It was a very different performance. There was a year I played a dancer, just in a dance troupe, and we were just the brightest, most colorful troupe in the entire thing. We all wore these big flower garlands and just did the maypole and taught dances to other people, sang songs all over the place. My longest running character was a cantoneer in the military guild, strangely enough, not at all related to my actual military experience, but it was an edutainment troupe where we taught and kids about the Elizabethan military and the armor and weapons of the time and how each piece developed. And we get to, you know, try armor on and tell stories about it and try and hold swords. And I know more about Renaissance weapons and armor than I could tell you in 2 hours.
Now, I would imagine that you got pretty good at doing accents working at the fair.
Indeed, we did have dialect classes.
And tell me a little bit about the study of learning the different dialects.
Yeah. So we took classes. I mean, originally it was cassette tapes because this was 96, 94, 95. So there are dialect coaches. We have big classes. You repeat phrases like "loikely to fight a blind sprite." A lot of them are from Shakespeare because it was period. And you practice the vowels. You practice the different sounds until there are several different dialects that were present on site at the same time. You know, there was an upper class, a lower class, and a middle class. The British country dialect. The country dialect is what I practiced most. And it was kind of a middle-class dialect that was most likely very similar to what Queen Elizabeth I spoke for where she was raised in a castle called Nonsuch. And very likely close to what most Elizabethans spoke.
Oh, very interesting. Now, I know that you're a bit of a Shakespeare buff. Did that come about from your work at the fair?
Largely, yes. I was also involved in an interesting program in my high school where teachers picked out, I don't know, weird kids who were interested in kind of out of the box things. And they called it like the Renaissance. They put together kids from all different, and I was very much an English nerd. I like to read. So And I was always in performing arts and choir and things like that. So we did a bunch of Shakespeare. I learned about The Merchant of Venice and Richard III, and like we did scenes from that and talked about it, and just kind of an extracurricular thing. And somehow I ended up doing Shakespeare stuff and really enjoying it. So
now, do you have a favorite Shakespeare role that you've done? Even
so
if
this
it
is
was just a
embarrassing.
scene, even if it was just a scene.
Yeah, it was just a scene. Definitely, I've never been in a full Shakespeare play. It's just timing has never worked out. But for a scene, I would definitely say Lady Anne from Richard III, because never was a woman in that humor wooed, or should have been, in my opinion. I remember reading it and throwing the book across the room when I got to that scene, being so frustrated.
Now, you got your start being theatrical by doing the Bristol Renaissance Fair. But at some point, this spilled over onto the stage as well. What was the transition? How did that come about?
I have Madeline Brinklin to thank for that. Here in Elgin, where I live, I happened to see an ad for, and I always assumed all of my friends were doing all this work on stage because I had such a huge theater community. The Bristol Renaissance Fair cast is huge. And I always assumed they were so, and they are, so talented, so brilliant and magical. And I thought I could never do that. I could never get on stage. I would be awful at it. Of course I would. I must be far inferior to all of the talent of all of my friends. But I thought if I could do anything, I would start with a radio show. So I saw an audition notice for a Christmas radio show that Madeline was assistant directing, and I think Julie Price directed back in 2017. I did that. It was very cute. Loved it. And Madeline said, "Hey, I want you to audition for this next show I'm doing." It was a piece of my heart. It was a dark, scary drama. I don't want to say dark. It was a drama. It was about Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
And I had never dreamed of doing anything like that. And it was incredible. It was an incredible experience.
And so you auditioned. Madeline invited you to audition, and she cast you in a role?
She did.
Oh, wow.
She did. I was bowled over.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guest is talented actress Elizabeth Dawson, who has appeared with Elgin Theatre Company, Ricklepick, Independent Players, Fremont Street Theatre Company, and at the Bristol Renaissance Fair. Now, Elizabeth, you were telling us about your first show was a radio show. So that was no audience, or a radio show staged in front of an audience?
It was not only staged in front of an audience, but it was done as a period radio show, as though we were the cast of an actual radio studio. And I was not only performing voices, but got to work on the Foley table.
Oh, how fun is that?
It's amazing. It's so cute.
Oh, delightful. And so Madeline was involved in this production as an assistant director, saw mm-hmm. you, something sparked in her and thought maybe there's a connection to this role that she's going to, for a show she's going to direct, invites you to audition, and you get cast. And tell us about that first dramatic experience.
It was emotional. It was a piece about Vietnam, and I was actually in the military. So there was a lot of weird personal connections for me. It was beautiful in that it was the smallest cast I've ever worked with. And we all became very close. And I'm sure this is something you're very familiar with, you know, building those relationships with a cast when you are learning about how to emote with each other mm-hmm. and how to react with each other. And our chemistry was phenomenal. I feel like it was just a magical experience. The whole thing was beautiful. The hurdle was in breaking through my perhaps inherent idea that the script is just a suggestion because I came from improv. And it's not that I disdained the script. It was that if there was a misstep or if I couldn't remember the middle part, I would just keep going. And people would look up and say, "Where are you? What's going on? What's?" And I'm like, "Oh, I mean, we'll get there. Just keep going, right?"
Yeah.
We'll get there. And I've since learned that it makes some people crazy, and other people think it's like the coolest strength ever. And I have to really be careful about how I deploy that.
Very good. Okay, so you've had a great experience with the radio show, an even better experience with the show with Madeline Franklin. What happened next? Did you take a break, or did you jump right into doing the next show?
Oh my goodness, it just kept going from there. I couldn't believe that after that, you know, you do one show in Elgin, and I don't know, I felt like a local celebrity. People, it was crazy. And people after that show said, "I remember you from the Christmas show." It's like, what? How could you remember me? They're like, "Oh yeah, we saw you doing the footsteps." People remember you, it's crazy. In grocery stores, it was nuts. And people, gosh, who was the next show I did, I think was with Don Hayfliger for Independent Players, maybe. You know, what is time anyway? I don't know. But people asked me to come and audition for things. And I'm still beyond words flattered. And I don't even, I just try to be, you know, worthy of whatever comes next. And then.
Well, what tends to appeal to you about a role? What makes a role something that one that you want to say yes to?
Something that I feel like I can help the audience, where I feel like I would be able to help the audience fall into the show and feel something.
Mm-hmm.
If I feel like there's something in me that will enable me to bring that character to life in a way that will grab the audience and hook them in, and if I feel like I might have a chance of doing that, that's what I want. I feel like I am better at that with comedy, but I'm open to, you know, all kinds of things. And it's about the story that's told and the message of the play, I think.
Do you find that you like playing roles that you are more like the character, or roles that it's a little bit more different than you?
It's so funny that you ask, because I have really enjoyed both.
Mm-hmm.
I have every now and then gotten an evil character or a baddie. And I am like the happy, bubbly rainbow person. That is my personality.
But you're a Care Bear.
I am a Care Bear.
You're a living Care Bear.
So accurate. Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
It's meant as such.
But for sure, playing an evil character is so much fun. The kind of character that someone loves to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, so good.
Is there a particular experience you can point to, like a favorite evil character that you've played?
My favorite evil character is probably not one that was scripted. I one year played, and this was an oddball one-off. It didn't happen very often, but at the Renaissance Fair, I traveled to a different fair with some friends. We all went to the Minnesota Fair as a different group, and I played the lead mistress of the bad guy.
Oh my!
And she was so mean, and she and the I'm trying to remember her name. It was something very funny. It was like Morena Backstabber or something like that. And she and the bad guy's wife hated each other and were so mean. And we were trying to get everyone to sympathize with the bad guy's wife, who was a good person and totally innocent. And I was like the villainess. And it was fantastic. She was a very good friend of mine, and we absolutely loved that tension between us and fighting over him and my trying to make her feel small in the most exaggerated, silly ways was amazing.
Now, with all this viciousness going on. Did you ever have to learn like stage combat kind of skills?
That is the role that I've gotten to do it in. And it's, so everyone at the Renaissance Fair does take at least a minimal stage combat. So a slap, kind of eyes, you know, face scratching, those kinds of things. My husband, however, is an active stage combatant. That is like his favorite thing. He's certified in a million different weapons. And so if I need something now or want something, you know, he's a choreographer and I don't know, I think martial is the word. There's like all kinds of official stuff happening. He does the Winter Wonderland workshop here, and he's studied under several different teachers for that. So
that is so cool. I'm going to interview him next. So, okay. And so now you got your start in theater at the Elgin Theater Company. You've also done some work for Independent Players and Ricklepick and Fremont Theater. What appeals to you about a show? What makes you want to go out of your comfort zone and go to another theater group?
Honestly, either it's because the show is a farce, which I have to say is the best show my favorite show that I've performed in so far is probably Present Laughter by Noel Coward. A delightful, fast, funny farce, just laugh out loud. I would laugh every single rehearsal at the joke every time, every joke. It was just, it's hilarious. So I would do it for a farce, but also to work with a new director. I think I really enjoy meeting people and working with new people and building those relationships. And I know some people do it as like a form of networking, and that is so not something I'm conscious of. I just really like meeting new people and doing things. I'm very much your typical extrovert.
Now, over the pandemic break, so to speak, that we had, you and I worked on a couple audio shows together. What was that like for you? Do you enjoy doing voiceover type work?
It's super fun. I tend to, in my normal life, do a lot of wacky voices. When I'm really excited or I mean something, I end up using a Muppet voice. Like, I just can't help it. Or like, slightly intoxicated Elizabeth is often a little Jewish and she gets these funny voices. So having a chance to use those, I guess, for good instead of just my own amusement is delightful beyond words.
Now, you've recently accepted an invitation to again step out of your comfort zone in the theater and do something backstage. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And this really just happened yesterday, so fresh off the press, I accepted a stage management position. I have never been a stage manager. I did a couple backstage things in high school, you know, helping out. This is for Elgin Theater Company's, is it the Tin Woman? I think, under a director who's stepping in for another director who's sick, someone I've never worked with. He seems great. Sean Hargaden. I don't know him. He seems to know everyone I know. He feels like one of those people that has been right on the edge of my friend network somehow. And I somehow haven't met him. And I love making those acquaintances, and finding people who love the same people I love and, you know, being able to say, oh my gosh, aren't they great? I love that.
What is the appeal of stepping backstage and doing something different back there?
So, guilty pleasure. I am a stress cleaner. I'm a box checker, a list maker. I know this is a radio show, but I'm showing you my planner. I'd like to, I have different color pens and stickers, and I love to be organized. And on set, I know we haven't appeared like on an actual stage together, but on set, I'm always the person who can pull out of their backpack anything you might need, from a Band-Aid to a safety pin. to an extra pencil. I just like being prepared. And I think that's partially because of the military. But having the chance to put that at someone else's disposal, I think I just like being helpful. And I think that that will kind of check that box for me, so to speak.
So what advice would you give to somebody who has, like you, you know, was a fan of entertainment going on around them and wanted to take that step into the world of creating fantasy? What advice would you give to somebody who wants to do that?
One thing I wish I had done was take the chance and do it sooner. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Jump in. The water is amazing. Come on in. Embrace everything about yourself that you've ever loved and let that come to the outside, and you'll never regret showing people who you are.
And then one last question I always like to ask people, and I think you might have an interesting answer because you take the script as a suggestion. How do you go about memorizing your lines?
My most go-to method is probably writing it over and over again. Handwriting works for me. I have one of those erasable notebooks, so I'm not wasting paper.
Oh, how very green of you.
I try.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. My guest today has been the effervescent Elizabeth Dawson. If you see Elizabeth's name in the program, you are guaranteed for a wonderful performance. Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your time and stories with us.
Oh, Ricky, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.